I'm going to do something different this morning, and that is I'm going to change my sermon. Yesterday morning, I never had a piece all week about what to preach on, and I didn't email Cindy my copy of my message title until Friday, and I still wasn't at peace with it. And yesterday, I just didn't felt impressed to preach from Acts chapter 27 about a hurricane. And with all the hurricane activity in our nation, I thought, I really can't let this opportunity pass by, because there's a hurricane in Acts chapter 27. So if you have your Bibles, turn there with me this morning. And I love this wonderful story because it's so graphic. And as you open the Bible to this chapter, you can just, and read it, you can just feel the salt spray in your face. It was a story that was written as an eyewitness account of a great shipwreck. One preacher that I read in introducing this message, he said, "I want you to use your imagination. If you do, you'll taste the salt. You'll feel the swell of this ship as it rises and falls upon the billows. You'll hear the winds as it moans and groans and screams and whimpers. You'll hear the booming claps of thunder, and you'll see the flashing fingers of lightning as they play across the sky. And you'll look on the faces of these mariners and see stark terror that's on their face as they say to themselves, 'Tonight we die. We'll perish at sea.' But as we go through this today, you'll also discover that God delivered them, and hopefully we will learn some lessons in the process." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. I ask that it would speak to all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever wondered why God would use an entire chapter to tell about a shipwreck? And why did Luke, who could write so much, why did he spend an entire chapter of God's precious word telling us what happened? Because I think that Luke is using this to illustrate the Christian life. Some things that we can learn here, we can apply to our life, just like they did back then in the times of Paul. We can apply it to any situation in any century in which we live. Because you see, life is like a voyage. And the circumstances of life are like the weather. Sometimes there's smooth sailing, but also sometimes in life there's storms. And we're caught up in these storms because we're sailing on the sea of time between two eternities. And let me say this, there are times when we are caught up in storms that are not our fault. To no fault of our own, we face storms. People in Texas, the people in Florida facing these hurricanes, wasn't their fault. They didn't do anything to bring these hurricanes on, and yet they find themselves in the midst of them. Sometimes we have done absolutely nothing wrong. That's the way the Apostle Paul was. And Paul even didn't want them to set sail. Now he's a prisoner on this ship, and he's going from Caesarea to Rome to be judged. And they were in a particular place, and they were trying to make up their mind whether they should set sail or not. And that's where we join the study in verse 9. Acts chapter 27, beginning with verse 9. "Now, when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already passed, Paul admonished them." That is, he warned them and he advised them. "And said unto them, 'Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless," and that "nevertheless" is a very important word there, "nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, Supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Irma. Oh, no, easier to say. Heraclitus. So they must have named their hurricanes then too. That is, there was this howling hurricane that came down and began to pound the sea with its fist and swept that little boat to a place of near disaster. Now, I want to say that Paul did not want to set sail. And many times we find ourselves in that same situation. We're caught up in the circumstances. Sometimes there's a man who will decide, you know, we're going to move. And he takes his family and says, you know, I've been given this job offer. I got a chance to make more money. And a lot of times that's what it comes down to, right? I got a chance to make more money. And so we're gonna pack up and we're going to move. Never mind about the kids and that school. He withdraws from the church where he has a place of service. He has a place of ministry. And they go out. Oftentimes they are out of the will of God because they never took time to pray about it. They just decided that they're going to move. And here's this father making this decision, and his wife and his children are caught up in the storm too. They didn't get to vote. They were just prisoners on that ship, and off they go. There are people in marriages where one of the marriage partners say, I don't want to be a part of this marriage anymore. I want a divorce. And they step out of that marriage, and they bring storms into the life of their spouse and of their children. Something that spouse didn't want to do, and yet because one did, he throws the whole family into a storm. The whole family didn't get to vote. They're prisoners on that ship, and they go. There are people, like you and I, as citizens, although it's a great country, sometimes Congress passes laws and they do things during the ship of state that really harm us. And we're just caught up in these laws. We're caught up in these decisions that the Supreme Court makes sometimes, and not the decisions we would choose. And yet we find ourselves in a storm because of others who have made decisions on our behalf. Wouldn't you just like to get a hold of the rudder on the state ship sometimes and charge your own course and make decisions that are not contrary to God's will? And yet sometimes, again, we're just caught up on that, and we have to go the way the state goes. You'll find yourself in all kinds of storms. By the way, you do know why they decided to sail contrary to the will of God. There are five reasons here that I want to bring to your attention today. We could call these five ways to not survive a hurricane, or five ways to sink your ship. Okay, you look at verse 9, and we see the first of these ways is by what we're going to call compulsion. Compulsion. You notice in verse 9, now when much time was spent, they said, well, look, we've stayed around here long enough. Let's do something, even if it is wrong. So there are a lot of people who just act out of compulsion. They quit school out of compulsion. They get divorced out of compulsion. They drop out of a job because of compulsion. They move from one church to another simply out of compulsion. They feel like they just have to do something. They don't bother to get the peace of God. They don't have the will of God. They're just saying, well, it seems like I'm wasting my time here, so I'm going to do something else. Church, could I encourage you just to sit still, not make decisions out of compulsion? Don't do anything until you get a piece about it. Don't do anything until God tells you to move. You're not wasting your time. You never waste time when you're waiting on God. Sometimes my children will say to me, well, they don't anymore. They've learned. But they would come up to me and they say, Dad, I want to do this or that. And I would say, well, let me pray about it. And they say, no, Dad, I need to have an answer right now. I say, then okay, the answer is no. Because I will never be pressed into making a decision that I have not had time to think about and to pray about. And this has got me out of more than one tough jam at timeshare presentations. You got to make a decision. Do you want to buy this vacation package? No, I never make a decision unless I pray about it. And a decision like this is going to take at least 30 days. You know, it's going to take a month to make a big decision. They don't like that very much, but you know, that have saved me time and time again. I won't make a major decision. I won't make a major purpose until I've had time to pray about it. I can't act out of compulsion. If I do, I'm usually wrong. Now, the second reason is just as bad, and that's consultation. Notice in verse 10, Paul said, "And sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives." Now watch it. "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." So here's the centurion. He's the Roman officer in charge. He's got two people telling him different things. On the one hand is the apostle Paul, the man of God. He says, "Don't go. Don't go. It'll be a mistake. Don't go." And then on the other side, he's got the master. He's got the owner of the ship, and he says, "Go." And so the centurion has to make up his mind. And we're going to listen to this preacher and his so-called revelation from God, or am I going to listen to the expert, the guy who owns the ship and knows all about sailing? He knows the way of the wind. He knows the waves. He knows the sea. I mean, after all, he's the shipmaster. He's the expert. And so he decides to go on the advice of the expert, and he goes contrary to the word of God. And in consultation with an expert, he makes a decision. Now, I want to say something right here. Thank God for the experts. I'm not against experts. You know, thank God for lawyers and doctors and psychologists and those things. But if they ever tell you anything that is contrary to the word of God, I hope you have enough spiritual sense to go with the word of God over the experts. Doesn't matter what they say. The word of God is always right. But listen, so many times we hear people and we consult with people and we get advice from people, and that advice is contrary to the word of God. I tell you, you won't survive in the hurricane when it happens. Your ship will sink. Not only that, but the third thing, comfort. Comfort was something that caused them to want to sail. Verse 12, "And because the haven," that is the port, "was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised them to depart thence also." It just wasn't a good place to spend the winter. It wasn't commodious. That is, you wouldn't want to spend the rest of the winter here. It would be uncomfortable. So he said, "We want to do what's best for us, and what's best for us is not to stay here. We want to kind of pamper our flesh to the best that we can. We want to take the easy way out." And can I tell you, church, the easy way out is usually not the best way. The easiest way is often the wrong way. You know, as Christians, we are called to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And the devil will say, take the easy way out. You know, if it's going to go against your flesh, if it's going to cause you to have any discipline in your life, if it's going to cause you to use restraint, then don't do it. Take the easy way. Take the comfortable way. And not only the comfort, but here's a big one, consensus. You look in verse 12, "And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also." So here was the centurion's decision to make. He had listened to the captain, and the captain says, "Let's move out." But evidently, there's a debate on the ship about who to listen to. So finally he says, "Well, let's take and put this to a vote. How many people on this board think this ship should sail?" And 272 hands went up. The more part said, "Let's go." I want to tell you something else. Don't always make your decisions by majority vote, because the majority is often wrong. 12 spies were sent out. 10 came back. said that's impossible to enter the promised land. There's giants in the land. There's walled cities. It's not possible. Two came back and said, it can be done. It should be done. And by God's grace, it will be done. I've seen people trying to make a decision. I have had people come to me and ask me what I thought. I tell them something they didn't want to hear. They go to somebody else and they ask them. And they keep going to more and more people until finally they get a consensus. Until finally enough people have told them what they want to hear. And can I tell you, that's the wrong way to make a decision. Getting enough people saying, hey, I think that's the right thing to do. I think that would be all right. Again, they're not consulting the Word of God. They are consulting not the will of God, but the will of others. And so consensus. And then I want to mention another thing, that this is so important. This is the clincher with so many people, and this is the place that makes it so deceptive. They base their decision solely upon circumstances. Look at verse 13. And when the south winds blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Now, what does that mean? They're up there, they're voting, and they're saying, all right, by compulsion and consolation and consensus, we're trying to make up our mind. But here comes the deciding factor. About that time, somebody says, well, would you look at that? Now I know we ought to set sail. The wind has shifted. There is now a south wind, and this wind is blowing softly. This is the perfect time to set sail. And they said this as a time because the circumstances were right. Could I encourage you? Never make a decision solely upon circumstances. I've had every light green, so to speak, in my life. The circumstances were all lined up, but I did not have the peace of God. And Paul said, you let the peace of God rule. You don't ever do anything without having the peace of God. I don't care if the circumstances are lined up. The devil can line up circumstances. Did you know that? He can arrange circumstances, and this is why it is such a deceiving thing. I mean, I've heard people say, well, you know, I knew it was God's will because there was an opportunity. God just gave me an opportunity. You don't take every opportunity that comes along. You got to check with God. They just check the wind. Whatever way the wind is blowing. This is kind of funny. I think I probably told you this before, but when we were in Tome, I had a guy in our youth group that the way he decided whether to go to church or not was by the trap and go lights. When he was going to church, if every light was green, that meant God was telling him to go to church that day. But if he came upon a red light, that was God telling him to turn around and go back home. He wasn't going to go to church that day. I mean, that's a little far out. I know we all realize that. But that's the way some people are when it comes to circumstances. If there's an opportunity, if the light is green, then that's God telling me that I should go. Not necessarily. Didn't work out here. Didn't work out for them in this hurricane. You got to check with God. Don't just check the wind, because that thing was going to turn into a horrible, howling, devastating hurricane. Those are five ways to sink your ship. Those are five ways to not survive a hurricane. Now, they set sail. It was not Paul's will, nor was it God's will that they set sail. And they sailed into the teeth of a storm. But here's what I want you to learn. The three things that will help you to survive the hurricane. The hurricanes of life. How can you survive them? The first thing is, as a child of God, you can find out that this is true. That God guarded Paul. Number one, God guarded Paul from the storm. You look here in verse 20. and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. That means it was a big one. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. Now it was all he could do to not say, I told you so. Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou mayest be brought before Caesar. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Now what God said to Paul is, Paul, I know you didn't want to set sail. Paul, I know you wanted to do my will. I know, Paul, that you were caught up and you were swept up in these circumstances that were beyond your control. But Paul, I'm going to take care of you. And by the way, Paul, not only am I going to take care of you, I'm going to give you the lives of these other people on board as well. Now, they didn't realize it, but Paul saved their lives. It was Paul on board that ship that kept everybody else from drowning. And church, the world doesn't realize it today, but it's Christians. It's you and I that are keeping God from sending judgment upon this earth. I mean, is he sending judgment? I don't know. I'm not going to debate that, but I tell you, things are going to be a whole lot worse when the Christian is taken out of the way. Things are going to get a whole lot worse when the tribulation horrors come to place, when the Holy Spirit inside the Christian is removed from this planet. And I do believe that the church is going to be raptured out of here, because before God destroyed Sodom with fire and brimstone, he had to take Lot out of Sodom. He said, I cannot do anything to the city until Lot is out of here. But you know, the world today says, oh, these Christians, they're such troublemakers, and they can't wait to get rid of us. One of these days, they'll get rid of us. And you know what's going to happen to their ships? They're going to sink. It was Paul on board that ship that kept that ship afloat. And when saints are taken out, the saints who are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, when the saints are taken out, I'll tell you, there is going to be absolutely nothing that would hold back the power of evil that's going to sweep across this nation and across this world. We haven't seen anything yet. I mean, you read the book of Revelation and it's unbelievable. Hell opens up and all of these hideous creatures come forth and are upon this planet. But if those sinners were saved, it was because the saint was on board. And God said to Paul, Paul, I've given you these that sail with you. So that's the point. God guarded Paul from the storm. And I know when I get caught in storms beyond my control, that God is going to take care of me. Church, I want to encourage you today. This is what this message is about. When you face the storms of life, and some of those storms can even turn into hurricanes, when you face those situations, know that God will guard you. That situations might be beyond your control, but God is a sovereign God, and things have not gotten out of control with him. So you say, well, Pastor, what about all those Christians that die? What about the Christians who are being martyred? What about those, surely there's some Christians that are dying in these hurricanes. What about them? God isn't taking care of them. What if the time comes when Christians are persecuted for their faith and they're put into prison? You know, Pastor, that in the Middle East and other parts of the world, Christians are being beheaded because of their faith in Christ. God doesn't seem to take care of them. I want to show you a verse. Turn to Luke chapter 21. It's worth your time to turn there. It'll put some backbone in you today. It's a beautiful scripture, Luke chapter 21. Beginning with verse 16. So our Lord is talking about Christians here and what they will suffer. And he says, and you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk or relatives and friends. It's getting pretty serious, isn't it? And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. I mean, it's really getting serious. And I don't know if we realize how close we are to those days. More people are dying for Jesus today than any other time in history. I mean, today, right now, more people are being martyred for their faith than any time in history. But now watch this. You know, how do we reconcile this with all the protection I was talking about? Verse 17, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But here's the answer. Verse 18, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. There's not a hair of your head perish. Well, I wish God would make up his mind. Is he going to guard us and protect us? Or is he going to keep even one hair from perishing? The answer is both. Church, they might kill you. They might kill your body. They might put you in the ground. But Jesus said they can't hurt you. Jesus said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. They're going to put you to death, but not a hair will perish. Because the real you has passed from death to life, and you are an eternal being. Death doesn't kill you. Jesus said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So no matter what happens, God has given us an illustration as he takes Paul through the literal storm, that he's going to bring us through every storm. And God guarded Paul in the storm. There's a second thing. Not only did God guard Paul, but God gladdened Paul in the storm. You see, he's on deck of that ship. He's got a big smile on his face. I mean, everybody else thinks he's popped his cork. You know, he's flipped his lid. Verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul had been down there praying. Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you, be of good cheer. I think when he said that, they thought about hitting him in the mouth. Are you crazy? How can we be of good cheer? The ship is about to sink, Paul. And Paul says, everybody cheer up. Put a smile on your face because I believe God. And here's Paul. And thank God for a faith that can praise God in the middle of a hurricane. That can praise God in the middle of a storm. Paul says, I know the storms are raging, but the Lord stood by me. And he said, Paul, be of good cheer. And I am of good cheer. And Paul had the joy of the Lord in his heart, although he's in the midst of the storm. Could I tell you, church, this is real Christianity. And when Paul walked on the decks of that ship, people were probably wondering and asking, Paul, what's the reason for the smile? How can you have sunshine in your soul? And Paul says, oh, because there's one who gives me songs in the night. Let me tell you about the time when I was in Philippi and I was in a dungeon. I was in the jail there. Things were looking bleak. We were in stocks. We were to be put to death the very next morning. It didn't look good. But you know what? My partner and I at midnight started just singing praise songs to God. And let me tell you what God did. God sent an earthquake and he opened up the doors to that prison. But here's the thing. None of us left. The stocks fell off. The doors were open, but none of us left. We just continued to praise God and to sing his praises. The jailer came in. He took out his sword. He was going to take his life because he's going to be a dead man in the morning anyway, because Everybody knows that a prisoner's one thought all day long, all night long, is to escape. So he takes up his sword and he's going to take his life when Paul speaks up and he says, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And I think the word "all" brought conviction to that jailer's heart, because not one of the prisoners had escaped. And to make a long story short, that jailer was saved that night. Not only was he saved, but his entire family was saved, and they were baptized. Paul said, "I have reason to be of good cheer. God's angel stood with me." He said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, and I'm of good cheer. And there's a smile on my face because God has gladdened my heart." To the Christian, the storms of life don't take their joy. But if you're not saved, there's some things here the Bible points out that the storms will do. Let me point some of these out and see what happens to these poor people. It's a sad story. You look at verse 20, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away." They had lost all hope. The sinner has no hope. I can't imagine living life with no hope. Can you? I don't know. I can't understand how people cope with death when there is no hope beyond this life. But there are many people out there today, they have no hope. No hope that they should be saved. And you know, they didn't have the radar and the fancy equipment to navigate ships like they do today. So they took their charts and whatever things that they used to predict where they were, and they saw that they were blown so far off course. It was so dark. They had no idea where they were. And then they began to wander. Verse 15, "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." There are people today that don't know Christ. What are they doing? They're just wandering around. They're just wandering through life. They're lost. They have no direction. They have no sense of purpose. They just wander. Circumstances are beyond their control. They just go wherever the wind takes them. And the man without God is blown off course. All of his dreams, all of his plans, all of his ideals, all of his vision for his life is dissolved. And life just drives him. But not only do they wander, they also work. You look in verse 16. "And running under a certain island, which was called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat." Now, what does that mean, to come by the boat? Well, this boat was heading into the wind. They're trying to bring it around so it wouldn't sink. They're laboring. They're pulling on the boat. They're pushing on the beams. They're bailing water. They're undergirding the ship. They're saying, "Oh, if we could just somehow keep it afloat." And they're working and they're working and they're straining. And there are people today that are just trying to keep their lives afloat. That's all they're trying to do, just to survive. And they're working so hard at it. You know, I've heard people say, "Oh, it's so hard to be a Christian." You know what? I don't think it's so hard to be a Christian. I think it's harder to not be a Christian. Because my Bible tells me that the way of transgressors is hard. And people take more pains to go to hell than the Christian does to go to heaven. They really do. For sin costs. Sin costs people. People strive and they work. There's perspiration on their brow, but sin is costing them everything that they have. Don't ever feel sorry for me because I'm a child of God. Don't ever feel sorry for me because I'm saved. Life is much easier since I've come to know Christ, we could say. But not only do they wander and work, they waste. In verse 18, "And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship." So one day they toss out all the cargo. They toss out all the furniture. They toss out all the tools, all the tackling, everything. Why? They're trying to lighten the ship. Profit is no longer their motive. Survival is the motive. And that's what happens to people when the winds of adversity and the hurricanes of life come. They're driven with the wind. They're laboring so hard. They're sinking deeper and deeper in the water. And sin begins to cost them everything that they have. How many times have we heard people say that I would give everything that I have if I could just have my health back? I would give everything that I have if I could just have this, or if I could have that back. Sin is a costly thing. It is a wasteful thing. And if you look at verse 30, and as the shipman was about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down that boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. So here's what else. People who don't know God, here's what they do. There's some sailors who said, well, we know what we can do. There's a lifeboat over there. Let's go to the back of the ship and let's make out like we're going to throw some anchors into the sea, but we'll take that little lifeboat and we'll let it down over the side and we'll get into that lifeboat and we'll get out of this mess. We'll just withdraw. If we withdraw, we can be safe. And Paul says you won't be saved by withdrawing. You won't be saved. You won't be saved by running. And so here's what people do. They try to run from the storms. They try to run from the problems. What they should do is run to God, but instead they're running away from God. Again, with no purpose. They're just running aimlessly, trying to get away from the storms of life. And Paul says, you will not survive if you run away. Stay with Christ. Stay in the boat where it's safe. That's your only hope. Now, what did God say? God guarded Paul from the storm. Paul gladdened Paul in the storm. And one last thing, God guided Paul through the storm. Verse 24, God said to Paul, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. So Paul's in a storm, but God is saying, Paul, I have a plan for you. My will is going to be done in your life. My will is sovereign, Paul. I'm sovereign over this hurricane. And my will is for you to testify before Caesar. I want Caesar to hear what you have to say. And Paul, this must be done. My will must be done. In Acts 23 and verse 11, the Lord stood by Paul. And he said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. So God had told Paul, you're going to testify to Caesar. You are going to go to Rome and testify before Caesar. And then Acts 28 and verse 14 says, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And Paul got to testify before Caesar. Listen, if God has promised you something, and there's a storm that comes in your life, there's a hurricane that comes, and that hurricane seems like it's going to disrupt God's will, you need to know that the sovereign will of God will overcome that storm, will overcome that hurricane, and what God has previously promised to you will certainly come to pass. He's not going to let a little thing like a hurricane stand in his way, because our God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. God gives a promise. In between, there's a storm. But at the end, Luke says, and we went to Rome. Now, I can understand can understand sometimes if we get out of the will of God, how we think that we've messed things up. But here's Paul, although it's no fault of his own, he's out of the will of God. But here's an encouragement thing to me. Even though Paul was outside of the will of God, it didn't stop God's will from being done. I have a confession to make, church. Sometimes I have stepped out of God's will. Sometimes accidentally, sometimes purposefully. But I have stepped out of God's will, but I want you to know this. That did not stop God's will from being done. As a Christian, you might disobey God. As a Christian, you might stumble and you might falter and you may fail. But I tell you that God is not going to stop working on you. And I know one thing. As far as God is concerned, not as far as salvation, but as far as service is concerned, God has predestinated me to become like Jesus. And although sometimes I might falter and I might fail in His will, God is not going to stop that. Let that stop Him from changing me into the image of Christ. He has determined that you are going to be like Jesus. And sometimes the storms in life are going to make you like Jesus. Sometimes He's going to use those storms in your life to make you like Jesus, to conform you to the image of Jesus. Can I tell you that there are some things, though, that are going to happen in your life that you have absolutely no control over. It's not what you would have chosen. But God is not going to let that thing change His plan for you. And He's not going to let that stop Him from conforming you into the image of His precious Son. Where man rules, God overrules. And there's a sovereign God, and that sovereign God is going to have His will. Now, you have a free will. Sometimes Christians backslide. They disobey. Sometimes they get in storms. But I still believe the scripture that says one day we're going to stand faultless before His throne with exceeding joy, and hell can't stop that. God guided Paul through the storm. The church may falter, the church may fail. But the Bible also says that one day God is going to take this church and He's going to present it as a glorious bride. He's going to present a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not be able to stop that from happening. Now the kings of this world, the rulers of this world, the political muckety-mucks, they meet and they plan. I mean, they're planning one world government for us. They're meeting and they're planning how to bring peace in the Middle East. The North Koreans are planning, how can we annihilate Israel? What can we do to send a bomb on the United States? And Iran, they've got all of these plans for Israel and for the U.S. and other places of the world. They meet together and they plan. Could I tell you that where man rules, God overrules? And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. And He will reign forever and ever. And there's nobody, no government, no hell, no devil that can stop it. Jesus shall reign where the sun doth his successive journeys run, and His kingdom shall spread from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. And when you go through a hurricane, my friend, just remember that the kingdoms of this world are the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And Paul, God guarded Paul from the storm. And God gladdened Paul in the storm. And God guided Paul through the storm. You must go to Rome. You must. There's a plan for your life. It's something you wanted to say, Patty?
Yes. The Lord gave me a word this morning for the body, and I'd like to tell you what he said. It's kind of complex, and so I want to make sure that I don't misrepresent this. But it's about his spirit, our feelings, our perception, and our faith. He's saying that he's going to be and is in the process of pulling back from this country. And it's not just a hand of blessing, it's his spirit. So he's pulling back his spirit. And the word that he gave me today was for us. It had to do with our feelings and our perceptions of that pullback. He doesn't want us to lose heart or be afraid because of the difference in how we feel his presence during this time, because we may not feel his presence the same way as we do during this time of him pulling back. But we need to stand on his word, and we need to come together as a body to support each other, because it is our perception of whether he is who he really is that's going to keep us where he wants us to be. Our faith is what we're here to gather around each other for. And I don't know if you saw me leave the service after our praise time, but I had to go check what I said with someone else to make sure that this was okay to say. Because this is what the Lord wants from us. He wants us to be able to stand.
Amen.
And to stand, we're going to not go by our feelings of whether we feel his presence or not.
Amen. Amen. And I said Wednesday night, I said, you know, God has given us tremendous blessing and opportunity in our lifetime. The majority of the church age, they did not have the religious freedom that we have today. The church was persecuted from early on. And much of church history, that's the way it was. And I don't know how much, I really don't know. I think things could change in a moment of time. And we could find ourselves being persecuted. And perhaps somebody here today might wind up giving their life for the cause of Christ. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if somebody had to. But you know, during those times, we're going to think, where is God? Is God still with me? Where is he? It's easy to feel his presence when things are going well. But when things get difficult, that's when the true test of faith comes in. And that's where we need to stand on his word. And I agree, we need to stand with each other and be there for each other. Nobody should have to face the storms of life alone. But perhaps you're here today and you're facing a hurricane. You're facing a storm. I just trust that some of these simple truths from God's word would be a blessing to your heart this morning. But before we go, I would like us, like we did Wednesday night, we had a couple of people pray for the people in the path of this latest hurricane. And I think we should join forces today to pray that, you know, I know that God's sovereign will is going to be done. But I think we still have a responsibility to pray for those that are facing these disasters. I was listening to TV a little bit this morning. Don't ever listen to TV on Sunday morning. Debbie had turned it on, and they were talking about how people had left Miami to go to Tampa, hoping that they would get out of the way of the storm, and they find themselves right back in the middle of it again. Even though they ran, and I don't blame them, I would too in that case, they still ran right into the middle of what's happening. So could we stand, and I know Wednesday night, people couldn't hear. So if a couple of people would just come to the microphone this morning and lead us in prayer, that would be great. So who's going to come? Gustavo?
Lord, for keep us safe. Thank you, because like you, Pastor Manny was preaching, Lord, sometimes we have troubles in our lives, Lord, but if we trust in you, Lord Jesus, you can guide us to a safe place, Lord. And we ask the same, Lord Jesus, for all these people in Florida and all the other country, Lord Jesus. They are having troubles, some people for your name, Lord, others for the nature. But Lord, we ask for their souls. Keep them souls alive, Lord. We want every history, Lord, be done in a happy way, Lord Jesus. But sometimes it's not possible, Lord. But Lord, help us. Help our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord Jesus. Help them to be waiting on you. Help them, Lord, to go through their troubles or through their test in their life, Lord Jesus, to go with you in your hand, Lord Jesus. We all need your help in our life, Lord. Sometimes we don't see your face, Lord, but like somebody make the the illustration, Lord, walking, but just looking 2 feet in the just looking the 2 feet in the beach or in the sand, Lord. Because what's your feet? Help Father, help every brother and sister in Christ, wherever they are, Lord. Your hand be with them. And thank you for this time. Thank you because your word not only guide us, Lord, also give us the strength to be standing in you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your mercy, Father. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. In your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Father, I come before you this morning, Lord, and on behalf of all those people, Lord, in Texas, Lord, as we were just praying about them last week, Lord, and I know that's not over for them yet, Lord. Pray for them, Lord, and they would recover, and pray for the families that lost loved ones, Lord. And Father God, I just pray for now for those in Florida, Lord, with this hurricane bearing down in Florida, Lord. And pray for we have many friends there in Florida, Lord, even family members right there, right in the direct path, Lord. And I pray for their safety, Lord. Pray, Father God, for safety of everyone, Lord, those we know and even those we don't know, Lord. Pray, Father God, that you would just deliver them, Lord, and help them to cause them to cry out to you, Lord. Pray you would increase their faith, Lord, that they would persevere and survive. Lord, I pray for there's going to be a lot of damage, Lord, to personal belongings. Lord, they can all be repaired, Lord, but I just pray that you would save the lives, Lord, of the people there in the path, Lord. Especially pray for our family members there, Lord, and our friends, Lord, and all those in the churches there. We come so close to Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord that Jasmine is out of there. We just sent her away a couple weeks ago.
Dear God, I would just like to pray right now. I had your protector, a hedge of protection over my house and all of my family and friends in Christ get down there, Lord, right now. That you would bind out any fear that they are having, Lord, that you'd bind out fear in myself, that I would be having a house to go back to, Lord God. I pray that you would use this not as something to scare us, but something to build up our faith in you, Jesus Christ, that we are able to lift ourselves up, to trust in you and have faith that your plan is mightier than any hurricane. Lord, that your word is more important than a little storm that might pass over us, Lord God. That this would be something to build us up as a family and not tear us down and worry us. Lord, I just thank you so much for your faithfulness in my life and the life of all the people around me, Lord, that you would just protect them all, Lord. Put a hedge of protection over them, Lord, and I thank you for that hedge of protection, not just that you will, but Lord, that you are going to. And I just thank you so much for your word and your faithfulness through all of this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, you are dismissed. God bless you.